Survivor Series was on Sunday, and we're all wrapped up on that. And we're going to talk about that tonight and a bunch of other things here on Pro
Shannon, Red. Shannon.
What?
I know I'm here, but it's Tuesday.
Is it really?
Yeah, no, it's not Wednesday.
Oh, well, that's a completely different show. Let's just keep it anyway. Hey, what's up, guys? It's Shannon Young, Mr. 100, the five-star man with special guest Dalton Anthony here tonight with us.
Yo.
And, of course, Ace is the five-star man. He's down at the end of the table.
I'm playing Animal Crossing.
He's playing Animal Crossing. Ali Abair, to my right.
Why do you have to ruin everything, Dalton?
Playing with a black twist tie.
Now that you did that, I am going to take that audio out. And that like second gap is all I needed that you gave me. Wait, it's going to be a lot of black things you were playing with.
I don't get it.
Because I can take the audio
out. Dude, would you please be nice to her? She lost someone very important today.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute. Time. This is a bit that I don't know. What happened?
Have you been on Facebook?
Oh.
One of her heroes. And I want to just send our condolences to Dr. Sheds.
I set that up. You, good job, team.
Passed away today at the age of 69.
Guys, Dr. Shed didn't even know.
I know you're not happy about this, but let me just point out how much joy that gave me today. I was laughing so hard in the store when I read Dr. Sheds, and I kept saying it over to myself. And
imagine if there were beans in those sheds.
Then I'd be thinking about those shed beans. So let me just paint a picture for everybody real quick, going, what the hell are they talking about? So Allie got on Facebook this morning before she went into work, I'm assuming.
I was on break.
Okay, you explain this to us.
My phone apparently does not know that Seuss is a word.
Because she shared a memory, Facebook memory from when you were 16.
So?
Last year.
That is not.
I was going to say 2 months ago.
And it was a Dr. Seuss quote, and then she put, I always love Dr. Shed's quote.
Because my phone apparently doesn't understand that Dr. Seuss is a person.
Now, what a good person would have done would have been to say, hey, Allie, I think you auto-corrected it wrong. I did instead was I screen-capped it, posted it on my Facebook, and then if you thought, well, that's enough there, no. I then superimposed a picture of a shed onto a doctor's body.
You found a fancy shed, too.
It was the fanciest shed.
And I made a fake news article about Dr. Shed's passing away. Technically, I put shed, but then I got a lot of angry messages about it. And, you know, he didn't go to medical school for you to mess up his name. It's Dr. Sheds.
He also changed the group chat to that.
No, Hunter did that.
Oh, that was Hunter?
That was Hunter. Yeah. Shedzilla, 1985.
Now, Allie, I did reprimand him whenever I came in here today, because he said, like, it's brought me so much joy. And I said, yeah, I'm happy the one thing that put a big smile on your face was being mean to your girlfriend and epically ticking her off.
You know, I'm glad while you were at work, you were able to make fun of me, and I had to, you know, make sure my place of work didn't fall apart.
I mean, technically, you helped me not fall apart, because Dr. Sheds is the best meme. And if you were anyone other than who you are, I would have made sure everyone I know shared that. And that would have been a meme on the internet. But because I love you.
Uh-huh.
But we will put it up on Podzilla 1985 and our fan collective can
share. It's going to end up being the picture for this episode.
Well, yeah. But
it is now. But like, Good job.
But like, you ruined the surprise.
Here's the thing, Allie. PZ85 hasn't created a popular meme yet.
We haven't.
And we need one.
Yeah.
We got
close.
it won't be this one.
We got close. We had more in the News Fox. And I still like that one. But like, Dr. Sheds, I think, is my favorite.
I still think the missing poster.
For Jordan?
Yeah.
And the Robert Patrick holding up the picture and, have you seen this boy?
Mm-hmm.
And then I reused that with Dexter and it was funnier.
Yeah.
And then Lane put a picture of him with Dexter and nobody wants him. Poor Dexter. Aw. Anyway. Okay,
Shouldn't have died.
What?
Shouldn't have died.
Oh, I thought you said you died. Like, I thought in Animal Crossing. Like, damn, that's a harsh game.
And you're going to have to pay $20 in real money to get your character
back.
No,
it ain't Star Wars.
Well, I was about to say let's talk about Animal Crossing, but let's talk about Star Wars for a second. All right, so I bought Star Wars Battlefront 2. I'm going to keep this brief. No. I enjoy the game. I enjoy the game, and I know Jesse's not a fan of the practice. I know you're not a fan of the practice, and that's fine. But I love the game. I'm having so much fun with it, and I will not say anything bad about the game. The practice, terrible. I agree. It's an awful way they've gone about things. But I enjoy the game. And I if you are out there and you bought the game and you enjoy the game, good for you. Enjoy the game. I have not spent an extra dollar on it, and I've had so much fun.
Well, you can't now.
I can't now, but I didn't then.
Wait until after The Last Jedi comes out.
I won't do it in the future either.
But yeah, no, I can attest for how fun it is because I started playing it. I tried playing the beta and I guess I was just having a really bad night that night. And it kind of kept me from having fun, but I was enjoying it today and I was still dying.
It's wrapped in a stupid idea. It's wrapped in a stupid idea, 100%.
I cannot say about how bad that practice is.
Yeah, and it was a dumb idea.
Yeah, and it's not saying that the idea is not finished being dumb. I'm going to hold off buying it until I get more information on it. But it is a fun game.
I like it, and I have not listened to Nerd Up yet, so I know things were said about it. I don't know exactly what.
We just went over the timeline of EA bad decisions. Crapping the bed and how terrible the progression system in the game is.
And the progression system, I can avoid buying extra stuff. I can't avoid the progression system. You can't. But what you can do is you can craft cards. I've done just fine for myself without paying anything. And my point is that like I enjoy it and I don't want anyone else out there. I don't want anyone out there to feel bad for liking the game.
Yeah.
Like you should not feel bad for liking this game. If you bought it and you enjoy it, then good.
We're not saying you shouldn't. You don't. You have to feel bad about liking the game because the game is fun.
It is.
The thing is, you have to. You can't just put your head in the sand and not acknowledge the fact that just you can buy the game because you love Star Wars. You love the game itself. But that sends the message to EA. It's the same crap we gave Dalton for pre-ordering Injustice,
which mentioned earlier before the show.
Which is a game that turned out to be really fantastic, and the microtransaction system in it isn't super broken, and it wasn't pay to win at all. But whenever you pre-order this game and you buy this game, you are, even if it's not what you're going for, you are supporting EA and saying like, no, that's fine, you can do that.
But, you know, where do you draw the line on that? Because there's lots of places that if I looked into their practices, I would go, well, no, I'm not going to go there anymore. I hate the thing. I hate the guy that runs Jimmy John's that owns it. I still eat Jimmy John's. I hate some of the practices of Walmart and their anti-union stances. I still go to Walmart. So where do you draw the line in the sand and just go, well, no, I'm not going to support anything I have a moral disagreement with.
That's up to the person.
Right. And that's what I'm trying to say is like, I'm fine with my purchase. And I know you guys didn't outright say you guys are idiots for liking that. Please don't mistake me for saying this. I wanted to put a little positive spin on the game because I feel like it's gotten so much negativity and it's fun.
But it's all negativity that it's earned.
It's negativity toward a stupid idea.
That they have doubled down on and then, if it was just the idea, I would say yes. But the fact that they've doubled down on it and every subsequent statement that they've made regarding it has just been so tone deaf in corporate speak.
When Disney has to call you and shut you down,
yeah,
that's a bad sign.
Right. If they're threatening to take away your exclusivity deal.
And I wonder what was wrong with the progression system in the first game. You know,
they didn't make money on it.
We had so much fun with that. Remember staying here late nights, me, you, Dalton, and Jesse, and like playing until we got that gun?
Yeah, Top Guy Things.
Yeah. That was incredible.
But the problem with it is they weren't making money on us doing that.
Yeah, they were just making money on people that bought the game and just like
poor EA that you only made money on the $60 purchase.
Well, no, especially people like me who bought the game a year later for $20.
Yeah.
And had access to all of the content that the people who spent $120 on if they bought it at launch for $60 and $110 because the season pass was $50.
Yeah, well, you got to give them a break.
And you didn't know it was in that season pass.
Yeah.
Now, again, I did buy Batman Arkham Knight season pass, and it was the same issue, so I am also part of the issue a lot of the times on these things.
And to be fair, this one does not have a season pass. This has no DLC to purchase. Right. This is all free. So I get their thought process is we can pull an Overwatch thing and sell people loot boxes, and that way, oh, look, no paid DLC. Isn't that great? And that is great. However, and I heard Boogie say this. I don't know if you guys said this on Sunday. Mm-hmm. How much of that is going to be locked behind credits? The DLC. It's not, I have a feeling it's
I bet the heroes will be.
Yeah, the DLC is going to come out and it's not like, oh, you get these heroes now. No, you can buy these heroes now.
Heroes and Star Cards will be locked behind credits. I'm willing, I would put money on that.
But the maps will be open.
The maps will be open for sure. And I'll wait till I see it because I'll have a strong disagreement to that too. But I like the game.
And I will say, I've debated on buying this game. I still may actually buy it new. I haven't completely decided yet because I had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah,
and it's a shooter, Asa, and you know how bad I am at those, but the fact that I'm still the only reason I stopped playing it is because Shannon didn't have customers and he wanted to play.
I don't think you have to defend yourself on wanting the game, though.
But I may still buy it. I'm not sure. As long as they keep the heroes at where they are now, credit wise, I'm perfectly cool with it. I feel like 10 hours is a pretty respectable. Right,
like, what they've lowered it to, the problem is how often you get credits.
Well, the biggest problem is that they had to lower it. Like, if it had started at 10,000, I think it would have been less, like the character, it would have been less of a, oh, that's a pain in the ass. But it started at 50.
60.
60?
60.
Yeah. I didn't even look when I got the game.
It would take 40 hours of straight playing without buying a single loot box to take it. 10 hours without buying a single loot box to get it is less egregious than my, especially if that's just Luke and Vader. That makes sense. Like, I am okay with that.
Well, it's Luke, Vader, Palpatine.
Are they all 10 now?
No, they're 15.
Vader and someone else is 15, but Palpatine, I believe, is 10. Rey is 10.
Okay, that's fine because, like, those, you have your two big legacy characters in that. Yeah. I understand that.
And there should be a progression system. Like, I hate to repeat what they said because they said it in a shitty way, but that we want people to feel like a sense of accomplishment when they unlock this. Like, I kind of agree with that the sense that, like, I used to play games where there was no DLC. There was no paid content. You played a game, and if you wanted something, you had to spend hours unlocking it.
Right. And that's great. And that's awesome. But there's a difference.
They have the worst PR person.
They have a PR team. Like, there's not, like, Overwatch has Jeff Kaplan. Like, Tyler Lansdowne is NetherRealms. They don't have, like, one specific person. They just have an account named EA Community Services or whatever. Mm. But also, like, there's a staunch difference between when was the last time you had to put $40 or 40 hours to unlock something.
That wasn't
end game. It was a reward for completing the game.
Yeah.
Like a 100% bonus. This is just like, and it wasn't the face of the franchise.
Yeah.
Like Darth Vader and Luke Skywalker arguably are. Also, that was terrible. Just the 60,000 credits on top of or you could spend $260 to guarantee that you get enough credits to be able to buy these.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. And it's the thing where credits are, like, the way you earn credits is broken. And the thing that we talked about on Sunday that is also just garbage is the single player offline arcade mode, you can only earn 500 credits a day. These characters originally were 60,000.
Right.
You could only earn 500 a day because, well, if people found a way to exploit that, then that would affect the multiplayer adversely. So the amount of credits that I earn offline on single player could be broken and people could exploit multiplayer. But the amount of credits I earn by putting actual money into loot boxes and getting those with the same end game, that's fine. That doesn't exploit the multiplayer.
Plus, have you tried that single player arcade mode? I don't understand
No, because I don't have it.
I don't understand how people do it so well.
But yeah, no.
Like, earn 3 stars on something. That's very difficult. If they exploit it, they should have the right to exploit it. I get one star.
Apparently, it's also like the custom games.
Oh, so like if you do bot matches?
Right. So you could just do like super easy one bot, first kill.
Get
like
a ton of credits.
Well, not a ton of credits, but the 20 that you get for arcade.
But you can farm it.
Right.
It's thankful to me that the game itself is fun to play. Mm-hmm. Because if it were, I don't buy when people say that you have to have all the good stuff to play the game because you'll be gimped if you don't.
But you have to admit that you do get a clear advantage.
It does play a role. It does play a role. Like, some of them is better than others. Mm-hmm. Like, the ones that give you extra health, extra regen.
Oh, yeah,
I get
like
that.
200% extra health, 400% base damage.
Right.
Like, when you were doing the Starfighter. Oh, well, the normal auto lock takes 5 seconds.
This is faster.
This one's 1.5 seconds.
Right. But thankfully, the game itself, from the beginning, and maybe I've just been lucky, or maybe I'm just dumb and don't realize it. And I'm being, I'm not trying to get pity or anything. But I've never seen a problem where I thought, well, this is unfair. Like, well, this is unbalanced. Like, that guy shouldn't have killed me that easily. Anytime I've died, it's because I'm a terrible shot, you know? Mm-hmm. But it's also very early in the game. In a month, 2 months, and when they turn the money back on, we'll see what happens.
Right.
But this reminds me a lot of For Honor. Do you remember For Honor?
Yeah.
Remember how long it was going to take to unlock everything in that?
Mm-hmm.
I think someone said it like 10 years or something like that. It was even worse.
Because then they tried to do it's not an MMO, or it's like an MMO. You're not meant to unlock everything.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a multiplayer combat game.
A big issue has been, and I heard this said on PS2J the best way from Josh. He said the biggest issue with the way they've done their credit system and all that is that EA have no idea what their content is worth. They just know it's worth real money. They just don't know how much it is. So they're like, they did the worst negotiation you could do. The dumbest one. You start off stupid high. And then when everybody's like, no, and then you put it stupid low. Well, not stupid low.
It's not even stupid low now.
It's more fair low.
Yeah, it's just a fair low,
but it's just like, it went from 60 to 10. And it's just like, all right, now we also have to disable money. So now you actually have to play the game to unlock it, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
but we want to put the money back, but we really don't know where to put it once we put the money back. Like, they have no idea of what they have, and they want to figure it out, but they're not good at doing it.
And so they just slap the Band-Aid of, okay, we're going to temporarily remove microtransactions on launch weekend.
They should,
so as many people will buy it as possible, then we can just turn it on later.
And they should, if they left it off, which they won't, but if they left it off, I don't want to say problem solved, because
the progression system is still tied to loot boxes.
The progression system is still kind of, or crafting. Like, crafting is an option, but it also takes a lot to craft.
Because
and a lot of the crafting you get
parts from
loot boxes.
Yeah.
But at least then it's a fair playing field. And it makes sense. It's stupid. Like, you should never have blind luck for progression.
It shouldn't rely on RNG.
That should not be luck. Yeah. But I know that won't happen. And I don't really think there's anything else to say about it other than just, like, I really enjoy the game. I wish it didn't have so much controversy because I feel like it's affected sales. And it should, because you do have to send a clear message that this is not – because what sense does it make? Like, that's the big thing. It's like, who was in a board meeting and thought – how about this approach? And somebody went, that's a great idea. Should we tell Disney? Let's leave them out of it.
Oh, they told Disney.
And then Disney just...
the reason the Marvel Heroes shut down. Like, Disney, this is something Disney is aware of. Disney didn't say anything when they found out the idea of microtransactions and all this. Disney stepped in whenever...
CNN ran reports about how awful it is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's because, like, Disney's not stepping in on a moral high ground here. Well, no. They are seeing the biggest franchise that they own be taken under scrutiny and with
A month away from a movie.
A month and away from a movie release.
No company ever does. No one does. Like, you never find someone cut something off at the pass and go, no, you know what? This is wrong. We shouldn't do this. They do that when they get caught. When people say, I'm sorry that this happened, what they say is, I'm sorry you got upset about it.
CD Projekt Red. I will counter that.
Which part? The DRM?
No, the part where someone on Twitter was like, oh, CD Projekt Red said Cyberpunk 2077, I think is what the name of the game they're working on is going to be a games as service because it makes them financially viable. CD Projekt Red, who has been pretty quiet about the development of that game, step four is like, no, think Witcher 3 level of single player. We're going to leave the greed to somebody else, is what they actually said. So, and like, that's the company that sends you a thank you letter in the box of every game that you buy.
That was pretty cool.
And the only paid DLC that you can buy for that game is the same size as the $60 base game.
So you're getting a free game, or you're getting another game for that.
For $20, yeah, because
it's good content.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Rockstar.
I mean,
Rockstar is an all-star when it comes to DLC.
Not really.
Really? Like, you don't think so?
No, because the
you're talking about the shark cards?
Yeah, because the amount of things, and I haven't played online in forever, but when I dropped off, it was because the amount of money that it required to do anything cool, like to buy we were going to do the motorcycle club thing?
Yeah.
And I dropped like $25 on the shark cards
because
I wanted to be able to just start the motorcycle club. And that was like the last time we played the game. The amount of money it takes, like, to be able to just, like,
bikers.
To be able to, like, go through and, like, grind out and do heists and stuff.
Would take forever.
It takes a while.
Yeah.
So it is easier. And Rockstar, within, like, the Grand Theft Auto Online subreddit, doesn't like Rockstar. They don't like the microtransaction system there. It's just kind of a necessary evil. That's why I'm really not excited about Red Dead Redemption 2's multiplayer. Like, I know you guys are super stoked, be cowboys in the Wild West, and it'll be fun to do, but I'm going to be handicapped because I'm not going to be able to sink any money into it.
Well, see, I think the reason I can enjoy Star Wars so much and Grand Theft Auto and Red Dead is because I've given up on ever being the best at anything.
Also, just real quick, another reason that Rockstar gets panned a lot for their multiplayer or their DLC practice.
Because no single player?
Because they promised that there would be single player DLC, and then they saw how much money they were raking in with the online, and they just scrapped it.
Yeah.
And then not only did they scrap it, they did an interview and said that single player DLC was never a possibility or part of the conversation, which it's great to see that headline. And then superimposed directly underneath it is the headline about the promises that Rockstar has made about the single player DLC.
And I know we've sung praises of a single player DLC done really well, but I will never get over the fact that Borderlands does it perfectly.
Yeah, Borderlands 2 did it really, really well.
What was the Borderlands deal? Was it paid DLC?
It was paid DLC. It was a season pass that was like maybe $20, $25 to maybe $30. It was something like that.
It's been too long. I don't remember.
Yeah, I want to say it was between $20 and $30. But you got four different worlds, like a different planet. Had everyone, each of it had like its own story, different voice acting, different guns, different vehicles. And it was like a good extra maybe 5 to 10 hours, depending on how much you play Borderlands. And that happened four times. And it was all fun.
And it was all completely standalone. Like, you didn't have to...
Right.
The real ending of Borderlands 2 was not locked behind the third one.
I hate DLC. That's just a personal thing.
No, yeah. It's just that thing where, okay, well, here we are. Like,
This is the new norm.
This is how it is. And, like, that's, like, microtransactions. Microtransactions are the new norm. The only time you hear anything about it is when a company does it so terribly like EA did. And, like, look at FIFA and the NBA 2K series. Like, and Need for Speed is a straight-up slot machine.
Yeah. And I was going to say, they're really front-runners. What do you say? They're trailblazers, EA.
And doing a bad job.
They really are. They're trailblazers in what can we do next? Like, this is the stuff that's worked. This is what people have gotten away with so far. Can we push that further? At what point will we push it to the point that people go no and push back? And I think we've reached that point.
Yeah, and it started with Ultimate Team in the Madden franchise, where it was like, all right, online mode, and it was strictly online. The first, I think it was like 12 or 11 or 12 was the first Ultimate Team one. And that was one where I think I dumped maybe $60 into this mode on top of the base game.
Yeah.
And it's only because I really enjoyed playing Ultimate Team and I wanted a good team. So, like, that was on me. But, like, yeah, no, getting the good cards, it was ridiculous.
Card-based stuff is always a bad idea. I bought Halo Wars 2 today because, long story, but I picked up the box copy we had at the store.
And it said Xbox One X Enhanced?
Well, yes, and on the inside, though, but on the inside it had a slip that said free copy of Halo Definitive Edition, Halo Wars, the first one, mm-hmm. and the Season Pass.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, I'll give it a try, and it worked.
Oh, nice.
So I was like, well, now I have to buy the game.
Right.
The game has a mode called Blitz. Have you heard of this mode?
No.
It's real-time strategy, but everything you have is based on random card draws. Nope. I don't get people's obsession with card-based games. Like, Lindsay loves Hearthstone. Mm-hmm. But Hearthstone pissed me off so much.
Well, there's a difference between, like, card games and then, like, not card games that implement card systems.
Games that have card-based systems.
Like Hearthstone is fine.
I still hate it.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. no, but it's fine. It's a free game. Mm-hmm. You can buy packs for it. That's fine.
Blizzard also catching a lot of crap because of the Hearthstone, the amount of time, like, without spending money, the time to, like, earn cards and packs.
Decent cards.
Has gone, in, has, like, exponentially risen since launch, but they haven't adjusted the rewards yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's a free game. They have to make money on it somehow. I understand mm-hmm. that. I'm not the biggest fan of it and I don't put money into it, but I get it. Mm-hmm. Whenever I spend $60 for Madden, I shouldn't then have to spend an additional $60 for a card-based online game. And, like, I don't know if NBA Live 18 has it because I just got that game.
Mm-hmm.
But, UFC mode. Or there's an Ultimate Team in UFC 2.
The same thing, isn't it? Where it's card-based?
Pretty much, yeah. So, and it's, yeah, I get it. It's a necessary evil for these companies that like to make more money.
But well, it's not necessary.
See, but the problem is, you say you shouldn't have to spend $60 on top of the $60 you already spent. You already said you did.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all they care about.
Yeah. No. Well, I was going to say, you know what? I've not spent a dime on Star Wars, but you know what I did spend a lot of money on? The game I probably spent the most money on in my life? Marvel Heroes.
But it was a free game.
It was a free game. It was. But it was probably worse than anything. And Jesse could tell you. I wish he was here right now to talk about it because the game you drop Eternity Splinters. To get any amount of Eternity Splinters to unlock a single character would take weeks.
Yep.
But you can buy them for real money, and that's what I did.
I think it took... somebody did the math. It would take like 100 hours, or between 72 and 100 hours to get like a top level character.
Which is ridiculous.
That's a full-time job.
That's why, like, because it came out on console like 6 months ago. And that's a part of the reason that a lot of people are really upset with
and want refunds.
Disney shutting it down.
Yeah.
Because it's only been out for 6 months. Like, I'm really glad that I didn't spend money on the starter pack. Because I was like hours away. Like, I almost just went to Walmart. If they had the Marvel Heroes card, but they didn't have the one that I wanted.
Oh,
and
gotcha.
I didn't want to just
buy the console version.
Yeah, and I didn't want to just buy the for whatever reason I decided not to buy the PSN money.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We were in Marion when you were looking for it.
Oh yeah, no, because I looked at it the next week too. Because when we went to Stride, I'd been looking at it for a couple weeks.
I bought one thing on console. I mm-hmm. bought Cyclops 90s outfit.
Didn't you drop like $30 on a Spider-Man costume?
That's on the PC version,
and that was a team
I mean,
up.
No, still.
and I will say, at least with it, like, I'm not even upset too much about the PC version because I had it for like 4 years.
Oh yeah, no,
like,
you got your money's worth.
Yeah, I clocked in on Steam at about 200 hours, which mm-hmm. I know for a lot of people, you're like, that's it. But for me, that's a lot of time in one game.
Right.
But if you played the console version and you dropped any amount of money that was significant for a 5 month game, that's ridiculous. And shame on Disney for that. That's shitty.
Mm-hmm. Like I said on Nerd Up, Hi, like Allie. they're they have the right to do that because it's their property, but
right. Yeah.
It is very much a dick move.
That's the thing is whenever you play these games or you do anything and you start something, mm-hmm. there's always a line in that user agreement that no one reads that says we could take this away at any time and you can't do anything. And you hit yes because you have no choice.
What was the basketball game like just a couple years ago that shut down like a month after the next year's game came out? Was it like the last NBA Live they did?
I think so. I mean,
that sounds likely because NBA Live's terrible.
2K is also, I think 2K shut their servers down 2 years after a game comes out.
Oh no, but this was like crazy.
It might have been a 2K because I think NBA, and it could have been NBA Live because that franchise has been on struggling feet since 2006. Well,
and like, and the reason people hate that is like, you can go like here. They're super. We have original Nintendo games that you can just plug in and they're ready to go.
You don't have to install it.
They won't shut down.
And not even yeah. And it's like, and you can play all of it.
Yeah.
It's not just, you might be able to play the single player still.
That's why I always tell kids when they come in, I'm like, yeah, man, I grew up on Super Nintendo. You got a game, you popped it in, no loading, no installing, no DLC. Mm-hmm. You played the game. Sometimes that was a bad thing. Like if you had WWF No Mercy and it kept erasing your save.
Oh, yeah.
You wish for DLC at that point.
You wish they could just, you know, just download that patch. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about happier topics. We already spent 25 minutes talking about this. F Disney. For the Marvel Heroes thing, I won't forgive them for it. I know I said I'm not upset. I kind of am, because whenever you play an online game,
it's a thing you loved.
It is. You always take the risk when you play an online game that they could shut it down. But usually, it's not a AAA title from a huge company like Disney. Mm-hmm. Like you don't expect Disney to go, "Oh, that thing that's making me money, yeah, let's cancel
it." Well, and the part of the reason is it's because it wasn't a Disney thing.
It was Gazillion.
It was Gazillion.
Yeah.
Then they made this before Disney had bought Marvel.
That's true.
So now Disney has acquired the rights to these Marvel characters, like, yeah, you're making this money off of these characters that we own now.
And that was the last bastion if you were an X-Men fan.
Oh my god.
How do you like that Lego Marvel Super Heroes 2, Dalton?
I'm
do you like
it.
Playing as the Inhumans? There's my friend, Mr. Inhumans.
I'm probably going to buy it soon.
I won't be mad at you for it.
I still, every once in a while on my PlayStation, I will put in Marvel Super Heroes, the first one.
Yeah, because the X-Men are in it.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a super fun game.
And a lot of them.
Yeah, enough to.
Did you guys talk about that on Sunday?
No,
the lack of X-Men in Marvel Heroes.
I think we mentioned it, but it wasn't like a story.
Yeah, because I think I remember being bummed out because I think I even said like I'm gonna buy it. Yeah,
like Shannon wrecked my weekend.
Yeah,
or Shannon wrecked my day that day.
The annoying thing is because I was reading the review of it on IGN and it's just like, yeah, no, it's a Lego game. You know what you're buying. There's no X-Men, no Fantastic Four, but there's. From Time Comics, the original, like Timely, there's characters from that, which was what Marvel was before it was Marvel. Mm-hmm. Like you were pulling up 80-year-old characters.
Is it Frog Thor in it?
Throg is his name. Spider Ham is in it, and it's a shame because it's like I'm mad about it, but also the kind of funny guys are like the voices of those characters. It's like Throg, Spider Ham, the Tinkerer, and then Greg Miller's Howard the Duck.
I mean, it's cool that they're in the game. Like if the X-Men were in the game, I'd be like, oh, that's the cherry on top.
Right.
But without the X-Men, it's just a cherry sitting in a bowl.
Yeah, it's kind of like
there's no ice cream, Allie. The X-Men were the cream, and the cream always rises to the top. And I'm about to show you the cream, the white hot cream of a 14-year-old boy.
That's not how the Macho Man promo went.
Oh, sorry. I guess it's always sunny there for a second. Let's talk about something happy. Animal Crossing came out today on Google and I think iPhone.
It was supposed to come out. Yeah, it's on iOS and Android. It's been in like the Australian shop for a while now, but it was supposed to come out tomorrow, so Wednesday, but for whatever reason, like, I saw a couple screenshots on Twitter about people playing it, and I don't even like Animal Crossing, but I just, like, I'm a sucker for kind of a time sink like that, and everything I've seen is like, yeah, there is a premium currency you can buy with these tickets, but they're not necessary. And like, people who are playing in Australia and stuff are like, oh no, I haven't bought any and I'm still being able to do pretty much everything I want to do.
And it's a cute game. I've always liked Animal Crossing. I played it on the GameCube and then I really got into it on the DS. Lindsay's a huge fan of it. She's super excited about it. Allie, have you ever played Animal Crossing?
I have. I played it on the GameCube.
So you're going to be downloading for your phone then?
I don't know.
What do you mean? What is that? You want these squid or not?
Oh my god. I need squid.
I know. I need flounder.
I just caught one. I have some for sale. They're on my marketplace, so I don't know how.
Can you really sell them?
Yeah.
That's cool.
For bells.
Of course. Everything's bells. It's like Fallout, but cuter.
That would be the most annoying currency. just in the world. Like, you think you're...
What if you're walking around with 1,000 bells?
Yeah, you got like 80 cents in your pocket. Depending on how that breaks down, you're sounding like a... You just...
Like Santa Claus is coming right, to town.
Right, exactly. But now, if like, your entire economy is based around bells...
Imagine if you're going through the poor neighborhood, and you're like, all right, we don't want them to know how much money we got. And you take one step, and it's like, jingle, jangle, jingle, jangle.
It's like that new movie, Don't Make Sound, the monsters will come and haunt you.
Yeah, except the monsters are a dog are high on cocaine with a knife telling you he eats bells so he can buy some more squid. Squid is the name for drugs in that game, by the way.
I very much remember whenever the first Animal Crossing came out, I had a GameCube, and I begged my mom for Christmas to get me that game because it came with a memory card.
And it came with one of the things you could do in that game is you could buy carts for old games. So you could play Mario Brothers in Animal Crossing. And that was so cool. And they took that out for the rest of the games because the damn eShop. Well, now you can buy it digitally, so why give it to you for free?
Mm-hmm.
Greed. But the game looks
fun.
Which
is weird for Nintendo.
So Nintendo's late to the party, but sure enough, they're coming along just fine.
For those who are interested in this, you should know, because I found out the hard way, there is a bag limit for the amount of like fruit and fish and bugs and stuff you can carry. Because
you needed squid, and they didn't have the room for the squid.
Because I need squid, and then I finally caught one. They gave me like 60 of these stupid olive flounder, their dumbass eyes on the same side. Just
one of God's mistakes.
Really, it truly is.
Like our next topic.
Why would you do this, Miyamoto?
I gotta blaze through this because we're at like 30 minutes already. Charles Manson passed away.
And yay! That's all we have.
Good. Yeah.
Can we give
No. There was somebody I know that I like, who posted, rest in peace, Charles Manson. And you guys already know this because I've said this to you guys, but yeah. I want to make my feelings known to the audience.
You're making a strong stance right now.
Apparently it's not just her. There are people out there that are saying, oh, he was so unique. He was so creative. His mind was so special. It's sad that he's gone, that it's wasted. No, he was a psycho. He was anybody can spout out a bunch of effing gibberish and sound like they're intelligent. My cousin Ryan does it all the time. He just does it in a hick accent so no one believes it. But anybody can spout off just random gibberish and people go, oh, how unique and quirky he is. It's just gibberish. Have you ever listened to what he said?
Also, it's worth pointing out that he convinced someone to murder a pregnant woman so brutally that she was nearly decapitated.
Yeah.
Like, he's directly responsible.
But he didn't kill him.
He's directly responsible for all of these deaths. Mm-hmm. And people are celebrating. And like, I get that there are like serial killer groupies, and there's a difference between, you can be fascinated by the man, because the man was fascinating, but he was also evil incarnate.
Yeah.
But don't be sad.
Who
would be
gone.
Sad that he's gone?
Like, at least, like,
the man who tried to incite a race war.
I understand the amount of like base empathy that like you're sad anytime a human being loses their life, and that's fine. You can feel that, but to feel extra sad because this person, I don't get it.
It's one of those things that this particular person didn't post anything about the Vegas shootings, didn't post anything about Puerto Rico. But you pick Charles Manson of all things to say, I'm sad that this happened.
That's your hill to die on.
That is ridiculous. Like, the dude was I got in an argument with some people that they knew it. And I told Dalton this before. I think Asa was here too. It was Bob.
It was Bob. Yeah.
Because the person replied and said, yeah, he didn't actually kill anybody. At which point I posted, well, Hitler didn't kill anybody personally either.
But the response to this was beautiful.
The response was good. He said he did pull the trigger on himself. And I went, ah, shit.
It's when you have a good argument in base, and then they back you in the corner with a technicality.
That's the point where I just liked their posts, and I gave them, it was from the office, I think. It was just a guy going, touche.
Yeah, it's like the tip of the hat to you, sir.
But I'm celebrating that Charles Manson is gone, so.
Yeah.
Because I don't have that problem. Like Asa said, you feel empathy, when someone dies, like any human life ends. I don't have that problem with some people. Like I definitely feel that way when people pass away. I felt sad that Della Reese passed away. I was a big fan of hers. She's a great singer.
She also didn't incite anybody to kill anybody else.
No, she incited good feelings.
Yeah.
And loving people. But Charles Manson, that's, what's?
Just touching angels, what?
Well, you can't do that now. Al Franken.
I'm so bummed out about that.
I am too.
That's so just...
Charlie Rose. Are you kidding me?
That one's super surprising. Like,
next is going to be like, I don't know, Tom Hanks. If it's Tom Hanks,
no.
I'm out.
That's,
yeah,
I'm
no.
tapping.
Yeah.
Allie, all right, we're not going to talk about this, but since we brought it up, I want to know your feelings on this, and I'm being 100% serious. So Al Franken, the first thing... You know who Al Franken is?
I've seen
you know who he is, but you just don't know you know of him, you just don't know really who he is.
Yeah.
He was an SNL writer back in the 70s and 80s. He's one of the original people from SNL. Then he became a congressman, I believe. Yep. Congressman or senator?
I'm not sure.
He was a government official.
He's a government official, and I'm sorry I forget the technicality on it. But he was a comedy writer and an actor before he was in office, right? When he was still a comedy writer, a reporter slash model named Leanne Tweeden was asleep on – you saw the picture, right?
No.
They're doing this overseas stuff for the troops. They're doing like skits and comedy stuff because, like I said, he was still a comedic actor at the time. And she falls asleep, and he takes a picture of him with his hands up to her chest while she's asleep and looking back at the camera, and it was supposed to be a stupid joke, right? And also she said that rehearsals for the skit, he forcibly kissed her when practicing, but it was supposed to be practicing for the skit, and he took it too far from what it sounds like. Now, another person said that when they took a picture with him, he placed his hands on their butt when they took the picture. I heard today on Morning Joe, Mika Brzezinski was talking about it and how someone in like the New York Times, I forget which publication it is, wrote that every time you lower the bar for what rape and sexual harassment is by going, okay, at first it was this terrible thing, now it's my hand was placed on your butt during a picture, that it diminishes the impact of people that have actually been like assaulted and stuff. What is your feelings on that?
I think there's it can be a touchy subject, but in my opinion, there's acting inappropriately in a way that kind of okays rape actions. Like, acting inappropriately, like grabbing someone's butt during a picture, while in itself, I do not say is rape, but whenever you do that and you act that way, you are kind of okaying taking advantage of someone else in a way that they don't want to be taken advantage of. And some people, I could easily see some people going, no, if you're taking advantage of someone in a physical way like that, that is rape. And I could see some people saying, no, that's not rape, that's just...
It's a slippery slope?
Yeah.
Well, and also, you know, there's a reason that there is rape, and then there is sexual assault, and there is sexual harassment. Like, there are different, just because people are throwing around these terms and getting them wrong.
Yeah, that's,
I don't think that's on them for lowering whatever standards that are being perceived. It's not the actual act or the person or the victim.
I think at this point there are some people that want to kind of put rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment all into one category, and I do feel that they have different meanings. And I think we should, none of them are good. None of them are appropriate. None of them make anyone more of a victim than another. Mm. But they are different. And I think they should be talked about in that way.
So what do you think should happen to Al Franken? A lot of people are calling for him to resign his office. Do you think that's appropriate for what it equates to a joke and a butt touch? Or do you think he deserves counseling? Like, what if you had control of this situation, what would you do?
I think there's a lot that can go into it, because what he did was not okay. And from what I also heard is, like, he admits that it was him that did it.
He said, I don't recall it happening that way, but I apologize if it did.
Okay, so that's not...
But he also was the one to introduce the idea that an ethics committee look into whether or not he's himself fit for office.
Yeah, he actually called for it himself.
That, having an ethics committee look into it, I think is good. I think things to consider would be, does this behavior continue? Because I am a believer of people can be toxic and not realize it. And people can learn from it and not act that way anymore. And someone that has realized that they were a toxic being and has learned from that and doesn't act that way anymore shouldn't continue to be punished for it.
So you're saying rehabilitation you shouldn't have to pay for the rest of your life for something you did and you were rehabilitated for?
Yes.
Kind of like, I mean,
it's almost like that's what prison's for.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say. Yeah.
Was what it should be for.
Yeah.
Not that Al Franken should go to prison for this.
No. And like, and I'm going to say something, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but with certain things, like, this is, it's not good at all, but low level, it's more low level than a lot of the things we've been hearing about with these, like, releases. That's something that I'm like, all right, you could realize you're not being toxic. That's an issue that needs to be addressed. If it's being addressed, you're fixing it. That's good. Something more severe. That's when the rehabilitation, I'm just like, yeah, I mean, you can be rehabilitated, but you're still kind
of
bad.
There was, in the same conversation on Morning Joe, they talked about this new culture of warfare on sexuality or something like that. I don't know. I don't want to misquote the whole thing because I'm just telling bits and pieces, but how it's becoming more and more difficult to, I don't know the right way to say it, but what I'm getting around to is that what we once considered to be harmless fun is clearly now, it's not that it changed into not being fun. It was never fun. It's just more people are coming around to the idea that maybe you shouldn't be shitty to other people.
We're learning not in just this area of, I don't know, actions, that things affect people in a lot of ways. Many things. And it's seen in parenting, it's seen in schooling, it's seen everywhere, that sometimes the way you approach something isn't the best. And so, like, there's, in this situation, no, that you saw it once as being fun, or like rape jokes or racist jokes or anything like that. I heard someone once say, there's so many good jokes you can't say anymore. And I was like, because they weren't good jokes.
Oh, Hunter says it best. I'll be the one to say it. It's just like, no, it was never socially acceptable. Or no, it was never okay. It was just socially acceptable.
Yeah, they were never good jokes. And if you continue to think there are good jokes, you're still a part of the problem.
Yeah.
And there's some areas that have much more weight to them, like race and rape and all that. And there's some that don't, like with schooling and parenting.
Being overweight. It's still okay to make fun of fat people. And I'm not saying that in a funny way. I'm being dead serious. Like, you can't make gay jokes anymore because it's wrong to make fun of people for being gay. Absolutely. You can't make racist jokes. It's wrong to make fun of people for being black or Asian. You can't make women jokes because it's wrong to make fun of someone for being a gender. But it's still socially acceptable almost everywhere to make fun of fat people for being overweight. And I hate that.
I see that, and I also see making fun of drug addicts.
Yeah, or making fun of mentally ill people.
The difference being in those is that we're in a place, and whether you believe this or not, this isn't the debate, is making fun of someone's race or gender is because that's something you're born with, that's not a choice you can make. Whereas someone's weight, and there are people who think that someone's addiction are choices. Those are things that can be changed. You can't just go and be like, oh, no, I'm not white anymore. I'm Samoan.
Like that one woman did it on Maury.
Yeah.
And it was stupid.
There's your precedent.
Yeah.
But it's very much something that you're born with. And that's I think that's the distinction. But you are kind of like, we are starting to we're approaching that area where now it's, you know, okay, well, fat shaming's a thing. Like, okay, well, now it's, you know, the body positive movement, like stuff like that. Let me finish this one thing. The part of the difference is it's also kind of wrapped up in the whole, like, healthy at any size movement, which I genuinely think is dangerous.
I agree.
And can be dangerous because there are certain health risks that come along with being proportionately obese. And, like, that's just that there's science there to back that up.
Yeah, there's a woman that I saw that, you know, weighs 800 pounds and loves being 800 pounds. Her husband loves her being 800 pounds. She makes money online of catering to fetish people. And yes, you should love who you are. But at the same time, you have to recognize the health risks of being 800 pounds.
Right. It's like, I'm not personally going to if you're happy with the way you look and you're happy with that, that's great. But I don't think you can say without a shadow of doubt, like, oh no, yeah, like, I'm totally healthy. And there are people who are overweight or who are morbidly obese who are healthy.
But there are bigger people that are healthier than skinny people.
Right.
Because being skinny isn't being healthy.
No. Well, that's the old belief though, is that if you're thin, you're healthy.
But I've also seen, there is a thing also called skinny shaming.
Oh yeah. Definitely.
It's this, people that are overweight feel attacked, so they attack back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's seen in a lot of areas. And I do agree that in this, like, healthy at any size can be dangerous because then people aren't looking at being healthy. Right. It's the idea isn't on being healthy. Our idea is on being attractive.
Yeah.
And that's where we have to fix this issue. It's, you want to be a healthy person. You want to treat yourself right. You want, because that's what's important. And even if with this movement of wanting healthy at any size, love yourself for the, what you, for your body, it's not, okay, it's still not okay to make fun of someone for their size. If someone is having trouble with that, it might have at first started harmlessly and ended up that they are now in a position where they can't get rid of the weight.
Yeah, I mean, it could be depression. And, I mean, there's lots of factors.
And it's, you don't make fun of them for that. You help them. You have an actual conversation with them about their, what they're dealing with, because it's probably not as easy as anyone thinks.
What are you trying to tell me?
I'm not trying to tell you.
You
anything.
Keep looking at me specifically.
Also, just that video that to wrap it back to Star Wars. Not that that was the topic we left, but a video I just watched where Boogie was talking about it. Boogie looks good.
Yeah, he does.
Like,
yeah.
Like compared to like 6 months ago, a year ago,
his face and his shoulders, you can see it.
That, well, it was the shoulders. Like, yeah. It blew my mind because I was like, there's. I don't, like, I'm wording this poorly, but it's the first thought that popped in my head. Like, I see, like, there's more of his room.
Yeah.
Like, watching his videos.
He doesn't take up as much camera space.
Yeah, and it's just, it was like, wow. And then I saw, because it was, like, a recommended video, because I was on a Boogie video, it was, like, something of him, like, playing air hockey. And it's like, oh, whoa. Like, he looks, like, this, he's, and, you know, I know you're a much bigger fan of Boogie than I am, but, like, you've talked about how he's kind of documenting, like, his struggles with weight. Because,
right, and he never wanted to get thin to be beautiful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He wanted to get thin to be healthier, because he knew that at the rate he was going, he wasn't going to live a lot longer.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important. And I never realized, I'm sorry, Ali, just one more thing. I never realized how vain society was. Like, I knew society was vain, but I didn't really know it until like the past 2-3 years. As I'm getting older, you know, I'm 35 now, and I know I'm not going to be young forever. Mm-hmm. I never realized how many commercials there were for beauty creams, anti-aging processes, stuff like that. It's bad the way they make you feel about being mm-hmm. big, being black, being gay, being old, being young. Like, everyone hates you for every reason, except this guy, Jesus. He got away with things. Wrap it up, because we only got about 13 minutes, and I got to get to this topic that we want to talk about.
The only good thing is our society is taking steps. I don't know if they're big steps. I don't know if they're small steps. We're right now in the process of taking steps, so it's really hard to see if we're taking big or little. But we are taking steps.
But there are some people who want to take those steps away and regress. And that's one thing I wanted to talk about. Cannot, but I just want to make one statement on it, because we're not going to do a Thursday show this week because of Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to get a chance to say this where it's like relevant. Mm-hmm. Today, Donald Trump came out in defense of Roy Moore, saying that he denies it. He denies it. Look, he denies it. And basically is okaying what he has done, which is pedophilia, which is being attracted to children. And if you are a Republican listening to the show, one, there's one of you, probably.
We're proud of you making it through another episode of PZ85.
And if you support this, if you're a Republican that would rather have a pedophile in office to push your tax reform than do what's morally right, especially if you are a so-called Christian and you have a moral standing.
Well, there's biblical precedent.
Shame on you. Shame on you, and that is a sickening direction the country's going
in. We can't have Muslims in the country because they're going to resort to the Sharia law. You know, children be able to get married to adults. It'll be disgusting. Fast forward to, well, there's biblical precedent for Roy Moore wanting to be intimate with a 14-year-old.
Roy Moore is just trying to make Jesus.
Yeah.
Like Mary and Joseph.
What happened with Mary and Joseph?
All right. That's all I'll say on it. We'll talk about it again in the future because this won't go away. And if Roy Moore gets elected, anyway, because everyone's pulled out of support of him. The Republicans, the GOP has pulled support. Mitch McConnell pulled support. And it's not because it's like EA. Mm-hmm. It's not because they saw something was wrong and like, oh, we disagree with that. It's because of the publicity. That's what's causing everyone to pull out of this.
I think his last name's like Flake. I don't remember what.
Jeff Flake.
Yeah, where he's like, oh, you know, the Republican Party's toast if we become the party of Moore and Trump.
Yeah.
It's like, I got bad news for you. You're there.
It's I hate to keep bringing up Morning Joe, but they said it. I think they said it best when your or maybe it was of Chris Hayes. When your political party becomes your religion, and you follow it like that, there's a problem.
Yeah,
there's 100% problem. Okay, That's a story for another time. We'll keep following that. But one last thing we want to talk about tonight, because this is extremely important, and that is net neutrality. It's back in the news. Asa, I know a lot of people out there know the term net neutrality, mm-hmm. and they know to be upset about it, but they might not even know why. Would you please just real quick explain what it is?
So net neutrality is the concept that the internet is an open and free market. Internet service providers, like here locally, it's Charter. Out west, it's Comcast. There's Verizon, AT&T. There's only a handful of companies that are actual internet service providers, because it's slowly more and more encroaching onto becoming just a monopoly, which is awful in its own right, but that's another story. It's saying that I can go to Netflix and stream a TV show, and then I can go to Twitter and post whatever, then I can go to YouTube, then I can go to wherever. Like, I can go to all of these different websites, consume this content, and it's all for the same price. It's not like a cable company. It's just you have access to everything. And at the same time, Podbean, which is who we host our show through, has the same opportunity of putting out their content and putting out their usage of the internet at the same rate as Facebook, as Google, as WWE, as all of these other, you know, the mom and pop store that you support that just put up an online store. They are able to access the same internet and use the same tools that Facebook uses. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I don't care enough to even say it because it tastes bad. But the current head of the FCC has promised to gut FCC net neutrality protections. Basically, what could happen is if these net neutrality protections are rolled back, is the next time you get a Charter bill, it's going to look like your cable bill. Where, hey, so do you want to pay? If you pay, you can get the base package, and that'll get you Facebook and Twitter. But you can sign up for Stars, Showtime, and HBO. But how about you sign up for YouTube and Hulu? And then for the extra premium package, which is going to be $20 more than the base package, then you can go to Netflix. Then you can go to Gmail. Or, hey, you know what? Christian morals. You know, we don't like the idea of Pornhub. So we're just going to shut it down. We're going to make it to where your internet plan won't allow you to access certain sites.
And throttle your speed too, right?
Or they'll throttle your speed. A portion of Comcast owns Hulu. So if you're a Comcast user and you want Netflix, there's a very real chance that you could have to pay more money to access Netflix. Or they could throttle Netflix, whereas Hulu works just fine.
Right.
There are so many terrible possibilities in this, and I hate to make it sound like the slippery slope argument, but these are all very real, because all they care about is making money. The current head of the FCC was a former lobbyist for Verizon. Like, he's still in their pocket. This is what they are wanting. And it also means that places like Podbean, if they are charged to put up their website, if they have to pay money, and then they see less traffic come in because, oh, I don't want to pay the extra $15 for the package that includes Podbean, then they're seeing less and less traffic. They're seeing less and less ad revenue. They're seeing less and less money. Podbean may have to shut down. These mom and pop organizations can't afford a website because it goes super slow when you get there, if you can even access it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm going to post it on the Podzilla page. I didn't want to do it without your permission.
Oh, sure. I'm all for it.
The post that I made on my personal page includes a video. It's a 3-minute long bit that kind of explains that, and he does a much better job of explaining what it is. As well as there are a number of resources you can use, because the only way that we're going to beat this, because this is like the fifth time we've had to do this.
Yeah, if you've heard the term net neutrality lately, mm-hmm. it's because just a couple of months ago, John Oliver did another
segment on it.
He did one years ago, and it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, because they're never going to let this go.
Because they just want to be able to make as much money as possible.
They're going to wear us down.
Yeah. And I refuse to let that happen.
Yeah.
Like 100%. So you can go to battleforthenet.com. Is a great place. It does another overview of what net neutrality is and why it's important. It also has a script and will put you in touch with your local congressman, senator, representative, all of it. It gives you a phone number. It gives you a script. Please call. Call. Email. There's ResistBot, which is on Facebook Messenger, that you put in your information. It's like, okay, this is who you need to talk to. We will send the email for you. We will send a fax to these offices. I've done it every day for about a week now, of just putting in emails tomorrow I'm going to be, I called on my lunch break today. I'm calling on my lunch break tomorrow. Like, this is super important. And it's, the FCC's fighting dirty. They try to show, oh, well, look at all these comments in support of us gutting net neutrality. They're from dead people. They're from, like, the IDs aren't real. They're from disconnected IP addresses. Like, they are fighting dirty, and we have to not let them get away with this.
This seems like one of those issues that should be a no-brainer to anybody that, one, enjoys the internet, because this isn't just a free speech site. This isn't just a,
touch the free speech implications of this.
Yeah, well, say it's not even that. I hate to steal that. It's not even that. It's just like, if you were just a fan of like justice and right, this is for you, because there's no reason that anyone should support this. At all. There should be no one, unless you are making money off these people.
The people that are making money are
the people that are making bank are supporting this. But you as a human being and as a free American, there's no way you should support this.
Because with the free
speech. Again, there's a lot of things you shouldn't have supported.
The free speech implications, because right now you can have the hashtag, net neutrality hashtag, save net neutrality hashtag. You can have battleforthenet.com. You can have all of these other websites dedicated spreading the word about why this is important. If net neutrality is not around, the ISPs, if like, oh, this message is like, do you think Comcast is going to allow just the websites dedicated to like, hey, this is the best way to lower your Comcast bill. This is the best alternative to Comcast. They could just yank those sites. They could censor the internet. You know, I wasn't joking when I said Pornhub could get shut down.
Yeah.
Like, let's have a frank conversation. Like, people look at porn. There's a reason it is like one of the number one visited websites on the internet.
And
it's a real thing, and it's a real service that it offers to people. Whether or not you use it or not, that's not what we're getting into. What we're saying is the idea that there is this content that is being put out that if an ISP doesn't like it,
yeah,
they can shut it down.
I was gonna say, you should support Pornhub. And no, I'm not making a joke about this. Like, even if you don't agree with porn, like, you can't pick and choose what thing you want to be righteous about when it comes to freedom. You can't say, well, I don't agree with porn, so I don't care net neutrality sounds good if they're going to knock Pornhub, but my kids can't see it. That's not fair, though, because then what if someone takes something you believe in and says, well, I don't agree with that, and kicks that off the internet? Like, it's everything or nothing.
Yeah, and it's the same thing that the Comcast, Hulu, Netflix thing you just said. Mm-hmm. It's literally like, yeah, no, you used Pornhub as an example, and like, I'm not saying it's a bad example, but the Hulu Netflix one is a way better example.
Well, I watch more Pornhub than Netflix, so.
A lot of people do.
Yeah.
There's no judgment in that look. I'm just saying, like.
It's fine.
Comcast could just decide like, oh, well, no, we own Hulu, so we want, they get the premium package.
Yeah.
Netflix, it's going to cost Netflix more, so Netflix raise it. Like, there's so
or
much.
Or you could stream Hulu just fine.
Yeah.
But then when you stream Netflix, it's slow, yeah. Buffering, definition, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you might think, well, that's silly. It's the internet. Yeah. But they will absolutely do that to you.
And that's
been the point of this since the beginning.
That's the internet now. That's the internet as it's been intended, is that every website gets the exact same speed, it gets the exact same treatment, gets the exact same ease of access. And that is what is at risk with net neutrality protections being taken away.
And it's kind of funny that we talked earlier about progressing as a country, that we're progressing on issues like race relation or, you know, sexual harassment, stuff like that. And at the same time, while we're talking about that, the people in charge that are in control of America are trying to strip away so many freedoms that you have. They're trying to take away the net neutrality. I hate big media. You know me. I've hated big media forever. Mm. But I will stand and defend people like CNN and even Fox News. I don't care. Anyone that they're trying to shut up because the president doesn't like what they write about him. You know, like, you can't take away people's rights to be free. That is what America is built on. You know, it's ridiculous. I can't understand why anyone would support
this. It's almost like whenever they made the country, we had a constitution put in place, and they put some amendments in it of being like, yeah, here's just a blueprint of our country.
But if we change the constitution, then we can make all kinds of crazy laws.
The reason that there's a lot that people are in support of net neutrality protections being taken away is because they're so entrenched in the story that their party is telling. There's a reason that in his opinion piece on the Wall Street Journal, he says like, oh, I'm revoking these things that Obama put in place. There's a reason that someone went on Fox News and said net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. Because they know that will get their fan base
riled
so,
up.
So like immediately, they like without doing any research or anything, will just say, "Oh, it's Obama. Oh, it's like Obamacare." Then I hate it.
Yeah.
What is it?
It's a buzzword.
Exactly, and it's so important to please, please, please. Like, do your, like, look into this. Don't just take everything I'm saying at face value. Go to our Facebook page where I'm going to post this video. Go to battleforthenet.com. Like, yeah, it's a slanted source. It's a biased source because that's, they're fighting to try to keep it.
It's a good bias.
But they at least will explain it to you fairly of this is what could happen. This is what this is.
Yeah, listening to the FCC about why you should not support net neutrality is like listening to a cigarette company about why cigarettes aren't bad for you.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. No one would go to, I don't know, what's a cigarette company? I don't know. Philip Morris?
Mm-hmm.
No one would go to Philip Morris for health facts on their cigarettes. I mean, they probably have to do it, but you know they're going to slant it in some way in a commercial
right.
or something like that.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it's not. The Flintstones smoked.
The filtered ones.
Yeah, and you just
filtered makes you, means they're healthy.
Yeah, and if you just don't put your finger over the holes that are like that big and are right where you put your fingers, there it's perfectly good for you.
With a little bit of crack in it.
A little bit of crack. Just enough to get that dog off your back. Because you're walking around with the jingly bells.
Ah, full circle. Which is good because we're out of time.
and you're welcome.
You know who I just want to say this real quick. Because I watch a lot of news. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. And I've avoided Fox News like the plague. Because it is a plague. Mm-hmm. But you know who on Fox News I really respect and love?
Shepard Smith.
Shepard Smith and Mike Wallace. Both. Or Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace. Because they're both very... Like Chris Wallace is supremely neutral. I think he is conservative. But he does not... support like the stupid things that they do. He's mm-hmm. Mike Wallace's son, Mike Wallace from 60 Minutes, who was a great, great journalist.
Uh-huh.
And Shepard Smith, who I feel like Fox News, go look up Shepard Smith and see how many people call for his head every day.
Yeah, didn't
Fox
like
News.
Just last week he had like this 10-minute thing
about the uranium one
and yeah. how it's kind of just a bogus yeah. nothing story that they have to try to latch onto.
He went over every specific thing. This is what it is. This is what happened. This is what you know for sure. And this is what the speculation is. And he literally said, there is no conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Fast forward a couple hours later to Sean Hannity show where he's talking about the conspiracy.
Nothing but, yeah.
Yeah.
So what I just heard is Shepard Smith has the really crap time for Fox News.
I bet he walks into that office every day, finds a dead rat in his like locker.
It's
and,
like high school. You're the nerd yeah. in high school. Somebody, you know that guy's getting hit with a spit wad every day.
Yeah, but God bless him.
Like Hannity's just like,
Well, he said, I'm a journalist. I present the news. Sean Hannity is trying to get people to vote for somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much it. Sean Hannity is not a journalist. He's an entertainer. He's a talk show host.
You know, it genuinely upsets me. Just the idea that, you know, we have to do this again. Like, this is the fifth time. It's not going to be the last time. I know it's not, but it is.
Where does it end?
It's important. It ends when we finally get someone in the FCC who understands how important this is and who is willing to look past the paycheck.
Yeah.
Of implementing these restrictions.
It is like Obamacare in the sense that how many times do they try to repeal it now? Almost every other week you heard new thing they're trying to repeal. Backdoor session, they're trying mm-hmm. to repeal it. And they never could. Now they're tacking it on to the tax reform bill to try to get it canceled again for like the 30th time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to, as long as these people are in power, they're going to keep every chance they can to get rid of the things that they agree with because it'll line their pockets more. And if you are not outraged as an American citizen at the things that are happening in Washington, what's wrong with you?
And it goes back to the entire thing. Every 2 years, do your research, go vote.
Yeah, it's 2018, there's an election.
It's coming right around the corner. And I mean, in beating a dead horse, like, yeah, no, people are voting along their party lines. But, I mean, dude, just go out and do the research yourself.
And you should never vote along party lines, ever.
I mean,
ever. Whether you're a Democrat or a Republican.
I've never filled out a ballot because there's ballots. You can, like, the ballot, you can just select all Democrat, all Republican. I've never done that.
Yeah, that shouldn't even be an option.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've actually ever voted where I have picked all one side.
Nope. I voted for Republicans. And I'm not ashamed of it.
No, yeah. You shouldn't be. There should be no shame in voting for a candidate who is on the other side of where you see yourself as a representative.
Yeah.
Like if you think that you're more conservative than liberal, if you think you're more liberal than conservative, there's absolutely no shame in finding a candidate who holds certain values that you hold, even if they don't fall on your side of the aisle.
Yeah.
But I don't know her name, so I'm just going to call her some old bitch. There's some old bitch, I believe in Alabama, who they ask, and she's in office, and they ask her about Roy Moore.
Oh, and I'd rather have a pedophile than a Democrat because at least pedophiles only fuck children.
She literally said,
whoa.
Okay, she didn't literally say that.
I feel like that's exactly what she said.
That's exact. No,
what she said was, do you believe the victims? I absolutely believe the victims. This is terrible. So would you vote for Roy Moore? I will vote for Roy Moore because I believe we need Republicans in office. That's what she said.
Oh, no, I'm thinking of the,
I think we're thinking of two different people.
The stream of Twitter comments and also, but elected officials.
Yeah.
There's been at least one.
Who would rather have a pedophile than a Democrat?
Because that hilarious joke.
And I'll be the first to admit, I was a big fan of Bill Clinton when I was younger. I thought he was great. I thought he was a great president. I thought he was a good person. I now know that Bill Clinton was kind of a trash bag. Mm-hmm. He was.
A lot of our former presidents were trash bags.
George Bush. Not
senior.
Not even W. Yeah, like, boy,
well, like,
we'll give W a pass on this one because he didn't do anything.
Well, politically, he was a trash bag.
Politically, he wasn't my favorite.
You know the one that it looks like may not have been? Obama.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true.
8 years.
He was born in Kenya.
Eight years scandal free, minus stupid made up stuff like that. But
well, there was the whole NSA thing, which I disagreed with.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I take that back.
And I disagreed with it. Yeah, and I called it out on him. But like, as a human being, he was a good person. And right now we have even the Republicans are trying to pull out of the Republican Party. Like you said, Jeff Flake said the Republican Party's toast, and it is because of this new wave of in your face, obnoxious idiots that America, some Americans love, and because who doesn't love Jerry Springer and Maury Povich?
Honestly, our political system has become Yankees Red Sox.
It's become a competition.
It's a pissing contest.
Yeah, it's a sports thing. If we're trying to get off of this, I just got the perfect loop around to the entire show.
All right, give us an out because we gotta get out of here.
Hunter said Sarah's currently crying at Dr. Shed's.
God damn it.
And there it is. Yes.
Dead at 69.
You're welcome.
Guys.
Allie was quoted as saying, I always love Dr. Shed's quotes. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow, all four of us, for Pro Wrestling Unscripted, where we're going to talk about Survivor Series and
Takeover.
Takeover.
Ace, you guys got to go watch Takeover tonight.
One of the things is positive and one of them is negative. You figure out what you're...
You decide.
And we're not going to watch Takeover tonight because we're still watching Punisher weekly or nightly.
I'm on episode 2.
I'm on episode 4 now. And okay, real quick, just a second. What do you think of it so far?
It hasn't totally... I'm on episode 2.
Like you've seen 2 or you're going to watch
2? No, I've seen 2. And that is my review because every of the other Marvel shows, and granted Iron Fist was just out of dedication to the character, I wouldn't have stopped at episode 2. Like, that's just one of those things where it's like, yeah, no, I need to keep going. But Punisher, it hasn't grabbed me yet. I'm also not the biggest fan of Jon Bernthal.
Really?
Like, that's... In this role, the way he's playing it is kind of weird. I don't know.
So, once you get further into it, it gets really heavy on PTSD. Mm-hmm. And, like...
Joy.
He becomes much more of a humanized character. Mm-hmm. Because, to me, growing up, the Punisher was always just vengeance. Right. Like, his family died, now he's killing everybody.
I'm fine with him humanizing him, like, totally. Like, that's not my issue with
and
it.
And he's
it's just
very, what's the right word?
Violent?
Well, he's super violent, which makes Lindsay super awkward. But, like, it's the Punisher. I knew what to expect.
The first episode?
Oh, he just destroyed the ending with the guys.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But they had it coming.
Oh, yes. I'm not saying they didn't.
Just, that was always a Punisher book. Yeah. He was never just killing indiscriminately.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Also, the part that... vague spoilers, but it's literally the first 5 minutes of the show. How they totally like kind of wrap up
Daredevil season 2.
Well, not even that, but like how they kind of totally wrap up like the family killer stuff.
They don't.
Well, I know that, but they do.
You think they do?
Yeah, right. It's just like it's the thing with Punisher or with all of the Marvel Netflix shows. It's like, and I have to finish Punisher before I can say this, but it really feels like that could have been the first half of the season. And then you have the second half of everything else. Instead, because the Marvel Netflix shows have a real bad problem of having a great season finale 6 episodes early.
Yeah.
Allie,
what do you think? Because to me, all right, so I'm going to be honest. I'm the biggest Punisher fan out of all of us. I don't think anyone will deny that.
No one's going to argue that.
I thought the first episode was really good because I like the whole... him being a loner, him just wanting nothing to do with society and just trying to exist.
Lone Wolf, mass murder.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that was good. Once I got to episode 2, it kind of lost me. I was like, I don't know about this. Mm-hmm. I hated the story with the two detectives that are like, it seems like a completely different story. And I'm like, well, they're going to wire them together, and they do. But once I got to episode 3 and now episode 4, I'm hooked. And now I want to know what happens.
Part of it's because of the trailer. And I think it might have been the trailer, but it's like, oh, gee, I wonder what could have happened here. Because like, that's what I, like, it wasn't the, oh, how is this going to come together? It's just like, oh, I know exactly how this is all going to fit together now.
And it's like you guys said, the Punisher is super hard to write for because he doesn't keep many villains.
And that, yeah, that's the thing.
He doesn't.
And
Ali will attest in the show so far, every time he's come across somebody that's crossed him, he murders him.
Yeah.
There's no simpy. And I will say on the last note, the one thing that pisses me off the most about the show so far. So one of the things that Marvel also does that I absolutely hate, they did it in Daredevil. And they did it in Daredevil season 2 with the Punisher. It took all of season 1 of Daredevil for him to get his outfit. Mm-hmm. In Daredevil season 2, it took all of season 2 for Punisher to get the skull. What does he do in the first episode? Gets rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
And up until even episode 4, no Punisher skull.
But they address that though. They flat out say because
he's trying to hide.
Yeah, he's in hiding.
The big white skull on your chest, come on, man.
It's the Punisher. I want the damn skull.
I know you do, but literally the first episode, Frank Castle, the Punisher, he's dead. So,
yeah,
that's all right. It.
Watch the show; it's good.
You think he's gonna kill Dr. Sheds?
He already did. He didn't get a good.
Was that the Punisher?
He didn't get a good price on that shed.
That was the Punisher.
Allie, Billy wants to know if you got the hookup on that shed. By the way, since you knew Dr. Sheds personally,
you loved all of his quotes.
All right, we're out of here, guys. We'll see you tomorrow on PWU. Have a great night, and yeah, see you tomorrow. Bye.